On this Veterans Day, on a split-screen TV image, President-elect Joe Biden paid a surprise visit to a wreath laying in Philadelphia, just as President Trump arrived at Arlington National Cemetery for his first public appearance since the election. And after a week in which he roiled the Pentagon, firing the Secretary of Defense and installing loyalists, and a week in which he refused to concede to Biden. In today's Washington Post, John Podesta, former chief of staff to President Bill Clinton, and Andrew Card in the same role for George W. Bush, argue together that delayed transitions are life-threatening. Card said the contested 2000 election hampered the Bush administration in getting national security advisors in place just before the 9/11 attacks that killed 3,000 Americans. So what's the strategy now? Well, our political strategists are here. Jamal Simmons is the Democrat. Hi, Jamal.
Hi, how are you?
Good. And Alice Stewart, the Republican. Hi, Alice.
Hi, Robin. Always great to join you.
Well, and I got to get right to you, Alice. Today on our program, we also heard former Secretary of Defense William Cohen, a Republican, say President Trump is also allowing Americans to die of a virus. We haven't heard one word about it from this administration. Combine that with the delay in transition. Is President Trump endangering American lives?
There are a lot of different aspects of this. The most important is the election process and the integrity of the election. And look, I think we should let every legal vote be counted. But there are still things that need to be done. Clearly, the administration is still addressing the coronavirus epidemic, whether or not they're talking about it publicly or working in private. But also, there are certain things that the incoming administration needs to do, but Trump's refusal to concede shouldn't impact it overall. And truthfully, until the election results are certified officially, there should be limited access to certain information and data, except for President-elect Biden. But I still think we can have a peaceful transfer of power, given that the action begins when the results are certified.
Alice, I gotta jump in. That has never happened. I mean, in 2000, when it was a much closer race, the contest in just one county, Republicans immediately congratulated Bush. No one waited. Jamal, jump in here. The Republicans are saying every vote should be counted.
Of course, every vote should be counted. And what happens is, as the votes get counted, Vice President Biden's lead grows and grows. He's now up to 5 million votes in the popular vote. He's got 279 electoral votes minimum. It could go up to 306. The president has 217. He's just, Donald Trump is nowhere near becoming president of the United States again. It's time for us to move on. And if you look at recent polls, there's an Ipsos Reuters poll out that has about 79% of Americans are also ready to move on. So let's get the Vice President Biden, let's get President-elect Biden the briefings that he needs and Vice President-elect Harris. Let's start submitting names to be FBI background checked so that they could get confirmed. And then let's start getting people into the government so we can understand what an orderly transition looks like and get the government ready to go in January.
Well, and I just have to say, I misspoke. Hold on, Alice, because I misspoke. I said 2000. I meant 2016. In 2016, when President Trump, didn't even win the popular vote. He lost by 3 million votes. Everybody accepted that there are votes that are always counted afterwards. But once you hit that 270 in the electoral votes, Republicans immediately in 2016 congratulated Donald Trump. The whiff of hypocrisy, you don't smell that here.
Robin, look, let me be quite clear. I do think that when you hit 270, then the results are in and the president-elect should be declared. But clearly this president wants to make sure that every legal and legitimate vote is counted. Look, I'm former Deputy Secretary of State in Arkansas. I have tremendous respect for the integrity of these elections. And I've always had a problem with this administration questioning the integrity. And I truly believe, and serious Republicans do believe, that until we see evidence of widespread Democratic rigging of the process, the administration and the president needs to silently respect the count or concede. Those are the two options. But what my point is, he wants to make sure every legitimate vote is counted. He has the right to do so. But there are many that do see the writing on the wall, and it's time to move forward.
Well, but is this really about counting votes, Alice? I just want to ask you about the strategy, because we heard William Cohen say he thinks it's about roiling things up so that Joe Biden, is handed a mess. James Pindell writes in the Boston Globe today. He's seen the fundraising emails. He says this is about paying off campaign debt and raising funds and fear, undermining faith in voting so that they can use that money and that fear to change voter laws. When, in fact, as we said, this election went off beautifully. I think the Trump administration is 0-for-12 on their request to courts to turn back some of this voting. So it seems to have gone off without a hitch so far. What is the strategy here, Alice?
It's obviously clearly to sow doubt on the outcome of these elections and sow division within the country, which I think is certainly a bad precedent. I think there is a way to go about making sure that the 71 million voters that cast their votes for this president have their votes counted. But there needs to be a time and a point when we recognize that the decision has been made. And we do need to, as Joe Biden says, let's bring about unity and work together to have a peaceful transition of power. And I think respecting the election process is just as critical to a peaceful transition of power. And that's part of democracy, which is much more important than any one person.
Jamal, I want to ask you about Biden. Go ahead.
Yeah, I never disagree with James Pindell if I don't have to. He's one of the smartest guys in politics in the Northeast that I know. But let me just say, you know, there's a list of Republicans who have already come out and said this thing is settled, including former President George W. Bush and Condoleezza Rice and a few governors and senators and former governors and senators. Every living president. We're past the point now. We are past the point where everybody recognizes that the New York Times surveyed every single secretary of state or election official's office in the country and found none of them who would say there was any kind of fraud in the election, and most of them who said it's time to move on, including the secretary of Montana, who said, bite your lip, tip your hat, and, you know, and say congratulations, Mr. President, it's time to go. I think this is a effort to do something else, and it's becoming more and more worrisome, not just about fundraising, but the removal of people from the Department of Defense, the changing of the guard in their national security establishment. It makes many reasonable people wonder what exactly this president, who's been so outside the normal bounds of presidencies, what is he up to?
Alice, what is that strategy?
Clearly, certain of employment decisions that he made, obviously recently letting people go, were decisions he wanted to make weeks and months ago, but it wasn't in the best interest of the campaign. And he's clearly just removing people that he has wanted to let go and doing so in a time that wouldn't impact the election. I see part of it is getting even with people that may have disagreed with him, but he's the president of the United States, and he has the right and the authority to move people around however he sees fit.
Let me just jump in here. I'm sorry. Let me just jump in here, because it can't just be about him being the president of the United States. It's got to be about what's best for the people of the United States. And if whether or not it was good for the campaign or not, removing a Secretary of Defense this close to transition, changing the security apparatus, perhaps removing a CIA director and an FBI director, this all smells of something very dark. And I think we have got to put the people's interest of the United States forward, even though this president has never been the most patriotic person who's put people ahead, the people of the country ahead of his own personal needs. At this point, we've just got to, because we're all at risk from adversaries looking for holes in our defenses.
Alice, why haven't more Republicans spoken up about, you know, installing loyalists in the Pentagon? As Jamal said, it seems like such an autocratic thing to do. Are they frightened to cross Donald Trump because he may run in 2024, which is the whisper, or they may, and he will not bring his base to support them? Why aren't we hearing from more in-office Republicans? We're hearing from plenty who are out.
Well, in-office elected officials, Republicans and Democrats, whether they're on the state level or federal level, realize that anyone who works for the president serves at the will of the president, and he has the authority to bring in whoever he wants, whether you want to term them as loyalists or lifelong military experts. He has the authority to put in positions whomever he wants, and for them to question that goes against certainly the obligation and the responsibility and privilege they have in elected office to appoint people to work for them at their will. And that's the same responsibility and right that our president has.
Jamal, I'm going to give the last minute to you to ask you about, do the Democrats have their own wound to heal? They lost seats in the House when they'd predicted gains. Republicans actually had a great election night down ballot. We heard the leaked phone call among Democrats. You know, no more mention of the word socialism. Many of the moderates thought that that was what did them in. But then you have progressives like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez saying, no, we're the ones who actually helped. How does this get healed?
This is one of these situations like, in many conflicts around the world, everybody's got something right to say and everybody's got something wrong. The reality is the language that was used in some of these campaigns, how the Republicans attacked using socialism and defund the police was hurtful to some moderate Democrats. The challenge, though, for the moderate Democrats is if you're not for defunding the police, what are you for that's going to help curtail police violence? If you're not for Medicare for All, what are you for that's going to lower health care costs and expand coverage? That's the challenge for these two politicians.
And that's the conversation. Jamal Simmons, the Democrat, Alice Stewart, the Republican. Thanks, as always.
Thank you, Robin.
Thank you.